The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin. In Texas.
Hey guys, this is Note to Self, and I'm your host, Peyton Sarton. From Q&As and breakup tips to simply navigating every stage of life, Note to Self is a space to get messy, explore new perspectives, and ultimately empower yourself and others. Grab some wine or a mocktail, and I hope you enjoy today's episode. All right, hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Note to Self. I am trying to pre-record some episodes because, as many of you guys know, I am moving. By the time you're listening to this, I think I'll be moving in I think my movers come on the release day of this. So check my Instagram stories. I'm probably moving out. I am moving on the 21st. My lease doesn't start in Milwaukee until the 23rd. So I'm hoping the movers take 2 days to get there. They probably will. I mean, like LA to Milwaukee, that's a long jaunt. Okay. So I'm getting most of my furniture moved over there, and then I need to ship my car. While I'm recording this, I have not shipped my car, or I have not found someone to ship my car with yet. I keep sounding like I'm saying shit my car, ship my car. So I need to check on pricing and stuff like that. I just haven't had time to get on the phone and like really narrow down those details. But if you guys have sent me, if you are someone listening who has sent me a contact for car shipment, I appreciate that so much. I got a good number of responses when I asked on my Instagram story, because it's one of those things I feel like it should be more streamlined. Like, it should be easier to find a car shipper that we like. There's something about it that feels like underground when I'm shipping the car. Like, it feels like I'm doing something illegal the way that the process works. You know what I mean? Maybe no one else agrees, but I just feel like every time I ship any kind of vehicle, I feel like I'm meeting like a random person that feels like a drug deal. Like, why can't we just be normal about this and make it streamlined? I don't really get it. But that's my next attempt. That's my next thing I'm attempting to cover right now. But by the time you'll hear this, hopefully I have gotten that organized, because that's obviously a necessity. But I am moving. And then in the next week or so, I'm going to move, and then I'm going to go to New York to watch the first games of baseball season. The Milwaukee Brewers are playing the New York Mets for the first series. So, I mean, twist my fucking arm. I will go to New York City right now. So I'm really excited about that. I think Joe has an off day one of the days if it doesn't like rain out or anything like that. So we'll have an off day in New York to hang out. I'm really pumped. As I'm recording this, I'm actually going to Scottsdale in 2 days to watch another spring training game, and my entire family is joining. Like, even my sister and her husband and her baby, my niece, and then my little brother and everyone. We have a big like family dinner planned for in a couple days when I land. Obviously, Joe and one of my best friends, Kelsey, is also coming. So that'll be a lot. And then I'll be there for a couple days, possibly looking at some houses, just trying to move our lives along here. I feel like the first few months of me being 30 has been like a really quick transition into like, okay, we're being like real adults now. So it's been an interesting ride. It's been really fun. But I'm also trying to take a break from like sponsored content and stuff like that on the internet, just because I want to like relax. And I also want to get back in touch, like I said last week, with like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, what do I actually want to share? I feel like I was trying to take a break from content. So like a lot of the stuff I was creating was sponsored stuff, which I only work with brands that I like. Like, I genuinely love the brands that I work with. I also just love all my podcast sponsors. Like, I have to approve of each and every single one of them. So I'm very like, I'm obsessed with the sponsors, but also like producing like organic content as simple as just like a morning routine or a nighttime routine or just like pretty things. I feel like I'm really excited to do that. So I'm going to try to focus on that for the next, you know, month or two without doing a lot of like sponsored posting, you know? What else can I tell you? I don't have that many life updates. I feel like my life really is just like taking care of Winnie and then trying to move. I'm sure once I get to Milwaukee, I'll have more life updates for you guys, but that's really all I have for you today. The next few episodes, I'm going to have some guests on. I'm going to have my friends Iman and Kristen back on. We're going to answer some listener questions. I have another friend on to discuss like simple pleasures, which she's going to be the best at it. I'll leave that one as a surprise. I'd love to have someone on when I go to New York and just like record, you know, later this month with somebody. But the next few are going to be guested podcast episodes because we've done back-to-back solos now. So anyway, let me pull up some questions because we are doing an Ask P episode today. And as always, I want y'all to know that I'm trying to take a stance more on these questions because I think I can kind of see all sides of things and I can justify basically anything. And sometimes I feel like I don't even give, like, I know I give direct answers, but like, I need to be opinionated, okay? But also when I do that, I fear that everyone takes me way too serious, okay? At the end of the day, I don't know your life. This is the disclaimer I do at the top of every Ask P episode. I don't know your life. I only know the small amount of information you've told me, even if it's like a long Ask P, still like really in the context of your life, I don't have all of the information. You know what I mean? And you know yourself better. You know the characters and all of your stories better. And the entire point of Note to Self is you being able to hone in on what you want and what feels right to you and to trust yourself and your own opinions and your own direction and your own intuition. So getting in touch with that is really important to me. It's really important to me in my life. And I hope it's something that you can do for yourself as well, because I feel like that's when I feel the most engaged in my life, when I really make decisions and trust myself through those decisions, even if they're kind of rough. A good example of this is like I just talked about in the getting back together with an ex episode, making the decision to get back together with an ex when a previous relationship failed. You know what I mean? That was a decision that I really had to make on my own. And I could have submitted and asked whoever to someone in a podcast and they could have been like, fuck no, don't ever do that again. But I think I made the right decision for myself. So that's the example I'm giving. Like, I don't know your life the most, but this is just like a fun little thing. I also love to know what you guys are facing in your life. So I feel like aggregating these questions from the audience is helpful for me to know you. And then also helpful for you guys because I know so many of us go through the same thing. Another thing I like to do on Ask P's is I relate it to my life to give examples. So I'm going to kind of put into context the reason I feel certain ways based on my own experience, which again is unique to me and you don't have to operate under the same assumptions or perspective. Okay? So live your life, do your best. But this is a fun little Ask P thing, and I just want to know what's up in you guys' lives. So we've got four questions here. I'm saving the longest for last. Okay. Number one. Hi, P. Me and my boyfriend have been together for a few years now and are planning to move in together soon. However, he lives in a different city, and I would be moving there. As someone who moves often, do you have any tips on how you're okay moving around a lot, uprooting your life from LA, and leaving behind your routine and friends here? So number one, I have a full podcast episode on making a big move. It's episode 26. So it was like earlier on, because I think right now we're on like 137 or something. So we're getting up there in the numbers. So this is 26. So you could listen to that episode. But two, I'll just discuss like top level things that I have in mind. One, you need to understand my own background. I come from a place where we moved about every 2 years. My dad was in the military, as many of you know. So I was used to making friends, having my best friends, and then leaving my friends. And the only way I could ever get in touch with them was literally like Yahoo email until I started getting on, and then like eventually, obviously, social media and stuff. But this was when I was younger. I didn't have like a phone to text or anything like that. So like we would essentially move, and then like I would probably never see those people again. So there's a lot of friends I've had in my life that I've spent so much time with that I have never seen again. Actually, oddly enough, there's a girl who I was best friends with. I think I've already said this before, but I was best friends with her in the first place my dad was stationed, or maybe it was the second place. So we all lived on base together and we are best friends. Our families are best friends. I called her Best Emily. Like that's what we still call her to this day. And she actually lives in Milwaukee. Like she's the only person I know in Milwaukee. I was like, that's so weird. This whole like background of being in the military is actually kind of helpful because there's people everywhere. Kind of random, but anyway, I was used to the moving. That's like the foundation of my life was built on kind of like the chaos of moving and starting over. And there's a couple things that taught me. I mean, like moving a lot teaches me that like not everything is permanent. Like also I have the ability to get up and change something if I want. Like I know that I can get up and move tomorrow if I'm not happy. So similar thing with Milwaukee. If I fucking hate Milwaukee, I can leave. I can go. It's fine. There's something about it that makes me feel really free. But I also think if you're a person who hasn't done a lot of relocating, it might be more difficult. So I don't want to pass up saying that because I don't want you to think like that something is wrong with you for not sharing the same perspective as me, because that's just what I was built on, like literally in my foundational years as a human. So that's why I think to the core, it's easier for me to move and like leave friends and make new ones and all of that stuff. But that being said, at this point, at 30 years old, I'm realizing the most, obviously, that as adults, everyone's on their own shit. Like, everyone's getting married when they're getting married. They're having kids. They're moving. They've got to go places for work. Like, as an adult, I've just realized that kind of everyone has to, like, not everyone, but a lot of people have to uproot and move somewhere. Like, that's pretty standard behavior. So I'm looking around at everyone else doing it, and I'm like, then I can do it. To be honest, everyone's kind of an idiot. This is how I feel about having kids, too. I was really intimidated by the idea of children because I know it's tough and I know it's like emotionally taxing and expensive too. But then I also looked around me and I was like, literally everyone is a fucking idiot. That might be a hot take and obviously it's hyperbole, but I do think most people are idiots from what I've watched throughout my first 30 years, and they're having kids and like their kids are fine. So my parents had me when they were like 21 and 24 or 25, and they had like literally nothing to their name, and also my mom was basically alone all the time, and they were literal babies. They did not know themselves at all, and they had me, and I'm perfect, so I'm pretty sure I'm gonna be okay with that. I have a similar feeling to moving. I'm like, oh, okay, they can do it, I can do it. I guess maybe if you're not around a ton of people who are relocating, that could be a little bit different. I feel like my friends specifically, like my Houston friends, literally like lived in Houston their whole life, went to school an hour and a half away, and then like went straight back to Houston. So I'm assuming like maybe you're coming from a position like that where it's a little more rare. It's going to be sad to leave your friends. It's always sad to leave your friends. Even me leaving college and coming out here to LA, I really didn't have any friends when I came out here, but I left all my friends who namely lived in Houston, for the most part, lived in Houston. And I was sad. You're going to feel left out. There's going to be moments like that. So I don't want you to think that you don't, that's not normal. Like, that's absolutely normal. I'm sad when I leave my friends. I'm going to be sad when it's Friday and I see all of them out and I'm not. But I think that I just realized it's a part of growing up. Things change. You start a new life with someone, especially in your situation. So I would get more excited for the new era than I would be upset about and like fixate on all of the things that you're losing. And it's kind of like typical to say, but like, just think about what you're gaining first. Like, try to train your brain to see what you're gaining out of this. Cause it's really exciting to move in with someone that you love and you kind of just are having a sleepover all the time. Like, it's actually so fun. So I would say shift your mindset for that. The thing is too, like if you're talking about your routine, so you mentioned that, you're probably going to have a similar routine wherever you move. Like, I know where we're moving in Milwaukee, like the Pilates place that I like to go to is close by. I know the Sweetgreen, I literally just had Sweetgreen today in West Hollywood. I'm going to have Sweetgreen in Milwaukee cause it's close to my house. Most of my routines are going to be the same. And I try to make it a point to do that. Even when I'm traveling the best that I can, like even though I'm going to a place a short amount of time, I try to keep like a similar foundational routine, a similar morning routine, a similar nighttime routine, even though the day might look a little bit different sometimes. Also, you can think about like when you're moving somewhere, moving to an area that allows for you to have that the same routine that you kind of love wherever you live currently. I also think that immersing yourself in the culture of where you live is where you're newly going to live is going to be so fucking fun. Okay. Genuinely make the most list ever of all the recommendations, all the things you need to try. Do something that is so quintessential to that place. I feel like Milwaukee, I'm thinking obviously it will be around a lot of baseball games. I know that Milwaukee is a city, they love the Brewers. So I'm really excited to be a part of that organization while we're there. We're living kind of like on, like I can see Lake Michigan, I think is what it is. It's really beautiful from our apartment unit. And I feel like that's very like Midwestern lake vibe. So I want to like immerse myself in that whole aesthetic as well. I mean, it sounds stupid, but like, I don't know. I like that. And then I've looked up just so much stuff about Milwaukee. So I would do that in your, you know, in your situation as well. I've even like looked up you know, I'm going to go to Chicago because it's like an hour and a half away or something. And I've looked up like day trips from Milwaukee, like places I can go visit in the state. It gets me excited to move there. And it also gives me something to do that isn't like my normal routine working, because I want to keep that foundational routine, you know, working, hanging out with Joe, eating my good meals at home, trying to reincorporate working out into my schedule, because y'all, I have not been doing that. I don't know. I've been walking, but working out has been, it's just been a lot. I'm actually going to, well, one, I didn't want to re-up my personal training stuff because I was traveling so much. And my trainer, Chelsea, who I fucking love, is in the Valley. And like, it was a hour and a half long commute, basically, like going there and back was like 45 minutes. And then I would work out for an hour. So working out just ended up taking up so much fucking time. And with Winnie being at home, I really just like didn't have time anymore. But to stay on that routine or to get back on my routine, Chelsea, same exact trainer who I fucking, the only trainer that's ever worked for me, her name is Chelsea Rose Health. You can do this thing where you have a membership with her where she like makes a custom plan for you, like for the course of the month. You just pay monthly. So I'm going to do that and take it into my gym in Milwaukee. So we're getting back on that. I'm also making like things like that. I'm making plans like that in my brain for when I move there. I'm like, hey, this is going to be my new homemaking era. We're getting back into that because I'll have someone to help me watch Winnie now. So I have a little more time and leeway there. And then I get to decorate my apartment really cute, which we're back into like a high rise type of unit, which is not what I've been in for the last year. So I'm excited for all the light. So I'm just getting excited for the little things and like planning this little era. If it helps you, make a little vision board. Okay. You know, I love a vision board. I'd make a vision board for, I can make a vision board for like attending one singular baseball game. It's just fun. I just like it. So I highly recommend doing that as well. Let me get back to my point here though. So yeah, move to an area that will allow for you to establish your routines and then also get involved in the community in some way and in the culture of where you're living. I don't know if it's going to be really different from where you currently live, but me moving from like Texas to LA and now to the Midwest, I feel like each of those places has like its very specific vibe. So I try to like explore that while I'm there. And it's really fun. And also, yeah, now you have a built-in best friend to do everything with you when y'all are not working. Okay. It'll be fun. Okay. Another thing I would do is when it comes to the friend thing, definitely plan trips with your friends from where you currently live. If you guys can get some trips on the calendar for the year, even if it's just weekend trips for you to go visit them again or for them to come visit you, which is so fun, get those on the calendar because then you're going to look forward to them and y'all can talk about how excited you are for the trip. You always have got something to chat about. Obviously, texting, social media, the easiest thing ever. All my friends who live away from me or have either I've moved away from or they have moved away from Los Angeles, for example, we are TikTok fiends. We're constantly sending each other TikToks. It's easy to connect in this day and age. Another thing I would do is making new friends. Obviously, in your place, you might not make the best friends of your life. They're not going to replace the friends that you already have, but you can add some friends to your friendship roster. And I would do so with your boyfriend in that social circle. And then I would also do so separately. So even if like you meet a girl who's, I don't know, one of his like acquaintances, girlfriends that you really are vibing with, like make it a point to like do something with her specifically. Like I think it's so important to use the crowd you're already with and also have a social life that's slightly separate from your boyfriend. It could be like adjacent too, you know, because you might, that's how you might be meeting people or with work or something. But those are my tips for moving. But just know it is hard. It's always going to be hard, but you got to do it. You're starting your new life. This is just adulthood and things just happen like this sometimes. But I believe in you and I hope you have the best time ever. Y'all are going to have so much fun. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. So what is the first thing that you would do if you had one extra hour in your day? I kind of went back and forth on this one. I think mine would be sleep. I already know I need some extra sleep for sure. I'm a sleepy girl. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. And the question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and to make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. I have been in and out of therapy since I was a teenager, actually in my late teens. Therapy has really, really helped me hone in on what's important to me and also learn a number of wonderful coping skills when times get a little bit tough. I feel like it just builds a really solid foundation for the rest of my life. It's helped with my relationships, from romantic relationships to family relationships to friendships. Overall, I find therapy just allows me to kind of find my center and again, find what's important to me so I can do more of it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. So it's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is iconic behavior from BetterHelp because they make it so convenient that there's like no reason and no excuse not to do it. You're just going to fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. I thoroughly believe therapy is like dating, and finding a therapist that works for you might not happen on the first time. So the fact that they make this so easy is also just a wonderful thing that BetterHelp does. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/note to self today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/note to self. This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. So if you are unaware, I feel like most people know what Squarespace is. It's so insanely popular, at least in like my crew of people, everyone starting like businesses or doing courses or wanting a very simple website. Everyone's using Squarespace. So Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether you're just starting out or you're managing a growing brand, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website, engage with your audience, and sell anything from products to content to time, all in one place and all on your terms. Squarespace makes it easy to sell your products in an online store, for example. So whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Squarespace makes it easy to sell your products on an online store, for example. So whether you're selling physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. Also, Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own online course. Start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor, create engaging content your audience will love, then simply add a paywall and set the price. You can charge a one-time fee or you can sell subscriptions. It really does it all. Also, another thing I love about Squarespace is their analytics. You can use insights to grow your business. Learn where your site visits and sales are coming from and analyze which channels are the most effective. Improve your website and build a marketing strategy based on your top keywords or your most popular products and content. So head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And then when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/note to self to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's www.squarespace.com/note to self to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. All right, number two. Hey, Peyton, I've been a fan for years and love all your content. Thank you so much. All right, let's get to the question. I recently graduated with a degree in mechanical engineering and landed a, quote, dream job in the military space industry. I have a generous salary with all the benefits, bells and whistles. The only minor problem is that I'm absolutely miserable. I can feel the corporate America fist slowly ripping my soul from my body, and my joy for life is going with it. First of all, you're such a good writer. This is great. Okay. I feel stressed and depressed. Okay, I didn't mean like this is great, like your mood is great. I meant like the writing content is wonderful. Okay. I feel stressed and depressed 90% of the time, and the thought of showing up to work at 6 a.m. every day to work 10 hours in a windowless cube farm makes me want to crawl into a hole. In an ideal world, I'd have some side hustle I'm super passionate about or a skill I could capitalize on, and then I quit my job in a heartbeat to risk it all. However, I simply do not. Even if someone handed me $1 million, I would not know what path to take. I'm not sure what I'm even asking you, but perhaps some advice for the corporate girlies out here whose careers are affecting their mental health and well-being. Thanks for being you. Love, S. Okay. So the reason I chose this question, because I'm obviously not a corporate girly, but I felt like I relate to this because there's so many parts of my own job throughout the years that I've been like, I'm going to fucking quit. I fucking hate this. I feel soulless. I feel social media can just be fucking horrible. It's not the same as sitting in a windowless cube. Okay. I do get that. But it's taxing on your mental health in other ways. Like, it just is. I don't even need to jump into it right now. But it's made me feel soulless for sure. And I'm just like, what the fuck am I even doing with my life? And I'm so exhausted. And I just want to lay down on the ground in the sun. That's all I want to do with my life. I don't care. So I kind of have like a feeling that I would consider to be similar, though we're not going through the same process, obviously. Because can I say, you sound like a fucking badass. Let's start there. A dream job in the military space industry as a mechanical engineer. She's fucking killing it, okay? And I like that we're saying, you're telling us up front, like, you are making bank right now and you've got all the bells and whistles, but you're unhappy. I think this is probably a, you know, quote unquote issue that a lot of people are having. So overall, my thoughts on this are, I don't think there's any amount of money that's worth making yourself so fucking miserable every single day to the point where you're getting so much anxiety about even going into work. Like you're preemptively stressed all the time. And I'm talking to myself as well. I don't think it's worth it. Okay. But it can be really hard when you're getting paid really well to try to make a plan to leave. So one question I actually had that will obviously not get answered right now is, are you going to be in this situation in this horrible place forever, for years? Or is this like a job that you start with and then you like get higher up and you are less miserable? Because I would like to know the timeline on that before I say anything really too specific. So I'm going to be a little bit, I guess, non-specific in a lot of ways, but I'll still give you my thoughts. Okay, so first, I think this level of misery is not really worth any amount of money. Okay, so I think that if you can, or whenever you can, I think that starting to craft an exit plan, whatever that might look like for you, because it doesn't always need to be like a side hustle you turn into a business. It could literally be another job. But I think that even crafting or imagining an exit plan, not saying you have to do it right now, but kind of dreaming one up, one gives you hope every day. Like it just gives you hope. Just dream one up, your ideal exit plan for this situation. Because I think if at the very least, it's just going to show you maybe a pathway out, though it might take some time to come up with that. In the meantime, some Band-Aid fixes, I would say. I feel like you should try to focus on romanticizing anything you possibly can about this job in the meantime. Even if it's just the lunch that you pack yourself or pick up to have during the day, if that applies to you, I want you to make it every single day the best lunch of your entire fucking life. Okay, I want you to put some time into making that happen, because I think when you have these little things that can make you happy through the day that break up all the monotony and how horrible it is, you can only do your best, right? But I would really dedicate some time to thinking, like, what will make my day just 10% fucking better when I'm sitting in that cube? Because the windowless thing, I have a friend, actually Mary Skinner is her name. She's another like influencer type. She's on TikTok forever. She's a great podcast called Prologues. And when I had her on, I'm pretty sure she said something similar. She worked for the government and she was just like, I was in this like windowless room. Just like, she was an editor for correspondence in the Navy, I think. So she's sitting there with her what's it called? Like security clearance in a not well lit room with no windows, just like editing correspondence all day. She was like, it was a lot mentally to deal with. So I've heard this before, but I would say maybe you should listen to her podcast and write in for her too. I wish I could have her on. I wish I could just call her up real quick and ask her, because I feel like she'd have some good insights on this. But anyway, I would focus on romanticizing literally absolutely fucking anything. Even if it's just the color of your nails making you happier, please do that. All right. Anything. Maybe you have a new little powder that you add to your water. I don't know. Romanticize something about this so you can feel a little bit better. And then also, you better be indulging yourself outside of work. So whether it means like a ton of self-care, going to get a massage, getting facials, having your nails done. Having my nails done is my worst nightmare. I don't know why I use it as an example of self-care, but you get my point. Shopping therapy. Go shopping. If you're making good money, let's put some of that money to use. What happiness can this money buy you right now? Because it seems like you need it. So I think that would be good. Obviously, it seems like you have a pretty intense job when it comes to time. Like 10 hours is fucking insane. So whatever you can do for yourself, even if it's just laying down on your couch and ordering in food, please indulge and make yourself happy outside of work as much as possible. And then, like I said, overall, I feel like the money just isn't worth it, in my opinion. So I would start creating an exit strategy, and hopefully you can find one that works for you. But I do have that looming question of, how long is this going to last? And is this something that you're kind of investing your time to be miserable for a sec so that you can be like enjoying the salary and the security of all of this in the future with a better situation? So just ask yourself that, because I obviously can't get that answer from you right now. All right. Number three, I would love your advice because I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like we share pretty similar perspectives on life and I can't go to my best friends about this. You'll see why in a second. So this is my SOS for real. I can't give too much context because I know there's a chance my friends will come across this and maybe put two and two together, but here's the thing. I hate both of their boyfriends. Well, I dislike one's boyfriend as a person and the other I dislike their relationship and situation. These two are like my best friends of all time, like your Laurels. I love that you know that, by the way. And I love them with my whole heart and want nothing but the best for them in every lifetime. I'm really trusting of my instincts and intuition, and I have my reasons, but both of their boyfriends are not doing it for me. Again, can't give too much context, but trust is deeper than petty arguments or comments. I haven't said anything because I respect their relationships and not sure how expressing how I feel will be in any way beneficial. I know everyone is on their own life plan, and I find myself talking myself out of expressing my feelings about the best friends' relationships to them. But I also feel myself detaching from both because I feel my perspective and vibe could come off wrong because I haven't communicated how I feel about them. Would love to know if you've ever been in a similar situation, and if not, what actionable steps do you think you would take? Do I just shit talk this man in my head forever, or do I tell my best friends that I'm not the biggest fans of their relationships? Also, just a side note, I definitely considered maybe I was the issue and none of this was that serious. But after much reflection over the last months, I feel confident in my intuition and I've been very observant. I think sometimes people not so close to a situation can see things with a better and clearer understanding. Again, SOS. With much love, thank you for what you do. This one's hard. Because I think my general rule when it comes to friends dating guys that I fucking hate, I don't not voice my opinion. Like, I try to voice it like one time and then I stop talking about it. So in whatever way I can add it to the conversation. And I also do so when we are alone. I do not talk about it. I try not to talk about it with anyone else, but like my said best friend. This has definitely happened to me before where I didn't really say like, well, I don't like him and he's not right for you. But I was kind of like, I don't really like that he does that. Like, can you tell me more about that? Like, I get more curious about the situation and ask them, because oftentimes when someone's explaining to you something and they're disarmed because you're not asking like extremely pointed questions or being like attacking them or their boyfriend, I feel like they're more likely to like almost lead themselves over time to this conclusion. So I like that you're trusting your intuition. We just had a whole conversation. We love when the girlies do that because oftentimes we are correct. And I also like how you're like, I don't think I'm in the wrong here. That's exactly how I am. I'm like, I try to look at it from a different perspective. I'm like, am I just crazy? Typically, like sometimes I've been crazy in my life, but typically I feel like I'm analytical and I don't want to get involved with things that aren't my business unless it's truly causing a problem and I have to say something, which sounds like it's the point that you're at. So I would get curious about their relationships. When they do choose to talk about their boyfriends with you, I would be really open to that conversation rather than trying to like avoid the conversation because you don't want to like give off the wrong vibe. But I would definitely like have that conversation with them. And if you start giving off a vibe that is a little uncomfortable or whatever, I think they're going to pick up on that. And it's less, I think if I was the person receiving it, I would feel less attacked if I just picked up on the vibe that my friend like just doesn't think I'm in the right relationship, rather than them coming at me and being like, this is why you're in the wrong relationship, this, that, and the other thing. I hate him. He's the worst. Blah, 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 blah. Like everything that you're shit talking in your head, don't say that, but kind of just try to be soft about it and try to, whenever you can, engage in conversations where they're willing to open up a little bit about any issues that they're having in their relationship. Another thing I think is really great for this is when people in toxic relationships, so I don't know if these are toxic, but when people are in actual toxic relationships, actually see healthy relationships go through the repair process and then also see the highlights of healthy relationships as well, to see both. So like when it comes to like TikTok, for example, I have consumed a lot of content through TikTok for people who like, what am I talking about? A psychologist or a relationship therapist that I've sent to Joe or I've sent to Kelsey or I've sent to some of my friends and be like, oh my God, I love this. Or, oh my God, we should do this. Or, hey, this is working for them. I feel like sharing content between your friends, even if you're coming from an angle like, oh, this is what I really want in a relationship. I don't know how you would do that naturally, but like my friends and I share that kind of information all the time. So maybe it just seems realistic to me, but I would like to make my friend aware that there are relationships out there that are flourishing and are healthy and even healthy through conflict, because then in their head, they start getting this like, oh, well, we don't do that, or we don't do this, or like, maybe I actually do want someone that's more like this. And at all costs, what I would do is build your friend up to feel like they deserve more than what they're getting right now. I would really go that route. So everything that you say to her and everything that you do, I would do so with the perspective and like the mindset of, I'm trying to show her that she's the best fucking thing in the world and she deserves the best fucking thing in the world, because that's what you think. So I would just change your perspective on it, because then I think the delivery is different. And then I also think that sharing and making your friends aware of healthy, great relationships in whatever way you can is the best way to go, because then they start getting these ideas by themselves. And then again, be willing to have those conversations whenever they do come to you and open up about their relationship. Try your best to engage in a very respectful, curious way. And I wouldn't harp on their boyfriends a bunch, because I think that will cause them to defend the boyfriend and then they just move closer. But I would try to share your opinion like one time in a respectful, kind way, and then see what happens from there. Because you just don't want your friend to be defensive and then like try to like have space from you because they know you don't like the boyfriend, and then like you're kind of like shit out of luck because they've like defending their boyfriend who sucks, and it's just going to be a whole disaster. So tread lightly, but I don't think that tread lightly means say nothing. Today's episode is sponsored by Vegamore. Real change happens when you're consistent, and achieving the hair of your dreams is no exception. Thanks to Vegamore, sticking to my hair routine has never been easier, and I'm finally seeing the results I've always wanted. Vegamore products are 100% cruelty-free and are never formulated with potentially harmful chemicals like parabens or hormones. When it comes to seeing results, consistency really is key. I've made it a part of my daily routine for a while now. If you'll remember my 75 soft episode, I was like, I'm going to use my Vegamore, specifically the Grow Serum, every single evening. And I'm so happy with the way my hair looks and feels. For best results, use for a minimum of 3 months for visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. So like I said, the Vegamore Grow Serum is definitely my go-to. A fun fact is Vegamore sells one bottle of Grow hair serum every 15 seconds on their website. That's how good this stuff is. So typically in the evening times, I will just apply the Grow Serum to my scalp and kind of give myself a nice little scalp massage. It's become such a part of my nighttime routine. And like I said, over time, it does make your hair appear visibly thicker and fuller, which I'm definitely going for, especially kind of closer to my face where my baby hairs are. It's really transformed my hair. Having my monthly subscription of Grow Hair Serum, Vegamore makes it easy to stay consistent. So when I sign up for a monthly subscription, I get one bottle, or I can get 3 bottles sent. Plus, I save more and I never run low on the products I need to take care of my hair. Subscriptions are really the key. I'm really in on the subscriptions lately. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore. For a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/note to self and use code note to self at checkout. That's vegamore.com/note to self, code note to self, to save 20% off on your first order. vegamore.com/note to self, code note to self. This next sponsor really needs no introduction because I do not shut up about them. Today's episode is sponsored by Revolve. So what I love about Revolve mostly is convenience. I just like how there is so much to choose from, and I am constantly finding new brands. And then the convenience factor is that the shipping is really quick, returns are free and easy. I cannot get enough. When people ask me where to buy stuff to be a wedding guest, for example, or to go on vacation, or to go to Vegas with their girlfriends, I'm like, just go on Revolve. Okay, it's very obvious. They have everything, and I'm very, very impressed with their curation of brands lately, because like I said, I'm just learning about so many new brands through just perusing new arrivals and stuff like that. So I love to go on there and make my little wish list. It's like one of my favorite things to do. Right now, I'm shopping a lot for baseball game attire because y'all know I'm on my A game when it comes to getting dressed for baseball games. I want to inspire you guys to go to more, and I want to show you guys what I'm wearing so that you'll wear that to your next baseball game or sporting event. And I am using Revolve for this. Also, in my move from LA to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I really need to get like a couple more coats and stuff. So I've actually already made my big Revolve order to arrive when I do at my apartment in Milwaukee, which I'm so excited for because I got some coats and stuff like that just to finish out the spring because it's a little chillier there. And this was so, so nice because I know if something doesn't fit me right, free, quick, easy returns. Obsessed.
From last-minute trips to event dressing and seasonal refreshes, Revolve has you covered with fast two-day shipping and hassle-free returns. All on them. So go to revolve.com/note to self today to shop my picks for the season. And don't forget to check out the festival edit while you're there. It just dropped and it's so good. That's REVOLVE.com/NOTETOSELF.
Last question. This one's a little bit longer. I'm telling y'all, I do this to myself every time. I hate reading aloud. I'm doing this again. Okay. Hey, Peyton, thank you so much for always doing your Ask P episodes. I learned so much from your answers, and I feel like so many topics get covered that everyone can relate to. I would love some advice with setting boundaries with family. I think the catalyst for this was a recent relationship issue, which I'll summarize quickly. I was in a relationship for about 7 months with a guy who I really, really liked. There were a few issues in the relationship having to do with his effort level, and I had expressed those issues to him and gave him some opportunities to work on it. It came down to me asking for a break back at the end of December and ultimately ended with him really not wanting to break up. We decided that we were going to try and work it out and that I wasn't going to jump back into a relationship with him, but that I did want to give him a chance to really prove himself, which was seemingly what he wanted. Now to the issues of my family. I think my first mistake was sharing too much with them, especially little annoyances. Obviously, there were issues with his effort, and there were times where I'd be bothered by things he did. However, I would share everything with my family. I'm 23, and I do currently live at home, and it wasn't like I could really be dealing with anything alone, so I felt like I had to share most of the things a lot of the time. Fast forward to taking a little break and then deciding we would try and work it out. I thought for the most part my family would be on board since they seemingly supported me and whatever would make me happy. This turned out not to be the case. Essentially, I was given the ultimatum to choose between him or my family, which I would, of course, choose my family. They then also told me to block his number, Instagram, and the rest of his family as if he had cheated or done something really horrible. I know that they think I was making a mistake or that he would never change or that it wasn't worth it for me, but I feel like in the end, the choice should have been up to me and what I wanted to do. I respect them and their opinions, but also feel like I need to make my own life choices. It's been a few weeks since this happened, and now my mom and sister are trying to also set me up on dates, which I don't feel ready for. My relationship ended not on my own timeline, and I just feel so not interested. I know that if I say this to them, it will make them angry because they believe I should be completely over it and ready to move on. I am now looking at places to move. I live in the Bay Area, so I'm moving to San Fran, and am really trying to have some independence. I've been definitely struggling with my mental health lately because of everything that has been going on and the pressure slash anger my family is putting on me. I feel like there's just no boundaries here for me to do what I want in my life. I also know that he and I are still hopeful for and wanting some sort of reconciliation, but judging from my family's extreme and intense reaction, I just don't know how to approach it or if that is even going to be possible. I'm thinking maybe if I move out and give my family some time to get over it, that it might help. I can recognize that there are many guys out there and that he might not be the one, but I wish I had come to that conclusion on my own terms. I don't know how to go about setting some boundaries with family and parents that are very controlling. I know moving out is a good first step, and I'm struggling with what else to do. I would appreciate any insight and advice you have. XO, Jen. All right, so this one is tough because I think in my life, the biggest issues I have outside of my own just like mental health struggles, and they kind of coincide sometimes, is family. Family is so tough sometimes. I am so jealous of people who have an easy time with their family because cannot relate. Can't fucking relate. And setting boundaries with my family. And typically my situation is that my family is very, 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 very close. Like back home in Fort Worth in Texas, I would say my like grandparents, parents, sister and brother and my sister's husband and then my niece are together like all the fucking time. Like my sister and her husband have been living with my parents for quite a while with the baby and with my little brother who is a senior now, so he hasn't left the house yet. And then my grandparents, my mom's parents, my besties are always around. So there are like four generations. There's no secrets. Everyone knows absolutely everything. If I tell my mom something and I say specifically, I don't want you to tell anyone else, she's like, I have to because it's a family matter. So I get this to an extent where it's just like no boundaries, like genuinely no boundaries. The one thing that has worked for me is I have been a raging bitch my entire life, not in a mean person way, but in a protective of myself way. So when I was getting smothered and annoyed as the firstborn child of a really young mom. I do kind of feel bad for this, actually, looking back from her perspective. But I set boundaries really early. And I, when I say that, I mean like I was going to do what I was going to do. So that didn't matter to me if I was going to get grounded for the entire rest of the year. I was still going to do what I wanted to do. I was hard-headed and really headstrong and really independent and really wanted to make decisions on my own for myself, starting from literally dressing myself at 3 years old to deciding that I wanted to move out here and forego what my specifically dad wanted me to do in terms of work, because he did not believe at the time that I was going to be able to make being a blogger influencer. Back when I was younger, I was a blogger, but I was going to make that work because he hadn't seen it work for anyone before. So he was just trying to be safe and keep me safe. So I think one, understanding, obviously your parents are coming from a place that's kind of good, but like it can be really, really hard if you haven't had those boundaries, if you haven't been a person who's always done that. Like now my parents know that they're not going to tell me anything. Like they can try, and but they know that I shut that down immediately. Now, when it comes to boundaries, spreading information throughout the family, asking certain questions, invading my time, invading my space, those are still boundaries we need to work on. And those are, I think there's sometimes some people when the boundaries haven't been set before for some of these things. I specifically have boundaries also about topics we're allowed to talk about when I'm around. My family likes to weasel in a lot of topics that I'm just like, why the fuck would you do this? You know, this ends poorly every single time. Okay. And then I'm gaslit into thinking that I'm, you know, it's a disaster, to be quite honest. So I've tried to set boundaries with that. And I think that because there were not previous boundaries set in my experience before, and seemingly it seems like yours too, setting those boundaries is really hard. So in my experience, I don't think this is going to be an easy process for you, because it's a change. And when someone is encroaching on your life so much and you try to set a boundary, they are going to be immediately defensive. At least in my case, they were. They're going to say things like, you know, let's say I don't want to talk about a certain topic. They're going to say, well, you think this and you think that, and we need to talk about this because families have to talk about this stuff. And I'm like, no, but blip. Boundary. I'm setting a boundary around this. And then they get more defensive and I'm setting a boundary around this. But here's the thing. I'm not giving up. Those boundaries are being set to protect myself, to protect the people that I bring into my life, to protect Joe, to protect my future children. We're going to understand where my boundaries start. And if the reaction to those boundaries are bad, that's not really my problem. I'm going to try to set them as like respectfully as possible. And I've run into that for sure. And I kind of view it as a process. Like, okay, the initial reaction is going to be offensiveness. It's going to be they're annoyed, because it feels like sometimes when you set a boundary, it feels like to them that you're taking something away from them, even though you're just protecting yourself. So, and I think oftentimes when you set a boundary, it makes the other person feel like they're really an aggressor, and you're like, you're trying to victimize yourself almost. Cause that's another problem we run into, where they're like, well, you're trying to victimize yourself. And I'm like, I'm not victimizing myself. I'm just saying, I don't like how this conversation makes me feel, and I don't want to have it anymore. And I hope you guys can respect that. So that's the way I go about doing it. But I do want to say, I think that setting your boundaries is going to be a really important foundation to work off with your family in the future, especially if you don't want to have this happen again, because it's happened once, it's possible it could happen again. So I do think, in my opinion, you should really start setting those boundaries, though it will not be comfortable. I think you're really smart to move out. Another thing I feel about relationships, and my friends and I have talked about this recently, because as I've gotten older, I've done this more. When it comes to complaining about my boyfriend, and this does not go for someone, if you're in a toxic relationship where there is any form of abuse, that's a whole nother concept that I cannot speak to. But when it comes to little things, like for example, that Joe does that annoy me, I keep it to myself and I keep it within my relationship. Again, if we're going to more extreme, you know, things that he's doing, or if he's genuinely being a horrible person to me, I might consult a friend. But typically, if I'm just annoyed and it's a typical relationship annoyance, or he's not doing this or he's not doing this, I talk to him about it specifically. And I do so for the reason that most of my friends do this. We don't want, okay, how do I say this? So I've had a couple friends like this where they were in good relationships, and I can acknowledge their good relationships. But when they talked to me about the relationships, it was really only at times where they were really annoyed and they needed to vent and let off steam, right? But they weren't really coming to me when he was doing great things for them. So in my head, I was just like, why are you with this guy? All you're doing, like every time you talk to me about him, you're complaining about him. You know what I mean? So I try to avoid that because it's so easy from another person's perspective who isn't seeing the good things that they're doing and isn't feeling the love and the obviously whatever pros that you're feeling in this relationship. It's hard for them to be able to balance what they're hearing negative wise with the good stuff, because really all they're hearing is the negative stuff because you're going to them to vent. So that's what I try to avoid, because I don't want people to think, my friends specifically, to think that my boyfriend sucks. You know what I mean? Because I know he doesn't suck, but everyone's going to be annoying sometimes, especially to me. I'm very easy to annoy. So I don't like to discuss those things when I'm annoyed with him or when I'm having a problem with him or something. I typically speak directly to him about it instead of going out and saying everything to everyone else, because I want to avoid situations like this. Now, again, I want to be very clear. This does not mean I'm trying to hide any kind of like abuse or traumatic behavior from family and friends, because that's not happening in my relationship. So it's okay if I don't share every detail about how he annoyed me today with others. I just try to keep it to yourself unless it's like bad. You know what I mean? So that's one tip for that. I know that can be really, there's like a thin line there though about what you should and shouldn't say, I think. But I think it's good to not gossip around to your family or friends all the time about your significant other, especially when it's just a realistic, annoying thing that you can discuss with them directly. But that's a kind of one of those things you have to trust yourself on, the content of the gossiping. You know what I mean? So anyway, I'm blabbing about this one a lot because this is something that I'm really passionate about and something I'm kind of going through as well with you. But top level, I'm saying, one, I think moving is going to be great for you. Two, I totally understand your annoyance with not being able to control your own relationship or to control your own situation. If this were me, I would keep dating a person that I genuinely liked, and I can trust myself to make a decision like that though. So look inward. Can you trust yourself to make that decision? Three, I would start setting boundaries, even if you're not going to be with this guy. I would start setting boundaries for the next guy, because it seems like there's a lot of encroaching on your boundaries. And I understand the fear of wanting to set boundaries and not offend people, but I think you're going to have to offend some people in order to protect yourself sometimes. And they're your family. They love you. There's turmoil in family sometimes. I have always been willing to face the turmoil in order to move forward to protect myself. And generally when I do that, yeah, people can be combative in the beginning. Yeah, they can be annoyed because it's something quote unquote new to them, or they're feeling like slighted that I have a boundary there. But over time they get used to it, and I try to explain it in the nicest way possible, where I just say like, I'm an adult. I'm trying to do this life thing for myself as well as possible. I respect your opinions. I want you to live how you need to live and do what you need to do for you, but I have to make some decisions for myself. And let's say y'all are right. Let's say that y'all have it all figured out and I'm not seeing something that you are. I have to make these mistakes for myself as well. I have to. I'm growing up, you know, yada, yada, yada. I do think the space that you're going to have for them is going to be really nice. And again, I think connecting with yourself, making decisions for yourself that you're going to look back on and feel proud of, even if it ends up being a situation where you get back together with this guy and you guys break up, you did it on your terms. I'm happy to make mistakes on my own terms all the time. The things I would regret are making the mistake of letting other people control my life, especially those who don't know every single thing about my situation, maybe only the negative things, you know? So I'm proud of you. Just keep your head up, okay? Because I know that's so hard. And the family, my family stuff, which I haven't really deeply dove into yet on the podcast, just because I don't really think that I'm ready to do that. And I don't think that I want to, but just know that I'm there with you. And I know it's heavy and I know it's really hard. And it's something that I think about every single day of my goddamn life. It's something I ruminate on constantly. And it can be really, really fucking depressing. But I'm proud of you for at least acknowledging that you want to live your own life and that you need to set boundaries with them. But I think you just should know that setting boundaries is difficult. But I think, in my opinion, it's so worth it in the end. And that's the end of today's Ask P. I tried to get a couple in there that were just a little different. We got some career, we got some love, we got some moving, we got some family stuff. If you guys want to ask a question for Ask P, you guys can submit it to the form in the show notes. It's just the Ask P form. What else can I tell you for the end? Oh, my note to self for this week is to breathe. Okay. This is my note to self like every week at this point or every other week. I need to slow down. I really have this thing where, like, if I'm in a hurry or I convince myself that I don't have enough time to do stuff, the day goes by so much faster. But if I really try to stretch each minute that I'm living and I'm present, I feel like the day is longer. I feel like I can get more done. I also needed to reduce the size of my to-do list, but we'll work on that later. I'm going to have to, like, get more analytical about what I should be doing and shouldn't be doing. I'm really excited, though, for Milwaukee, in part because I'm not going to have so much distraction there from, like, actually just, like, creating content and dreaming up what I want for my life. Like, I'll be making mini a vision board while I'm in Wisconsin. But Winnie's also going to have so much fun. I can't wait to take her over to the lake and take her on walks and be outside. I think it's going to be so nice, even though it'll be freezing when I first get there. But I know a Midwest summer is really nice and mild. I also think that I'm going to be able to do a lot of the stuff in our new apartment that I wasn't able to do in mine right now because I hate shooting content in my apartment because, like, there's no good light. I love living in that apartment, but I don't like shooting content there. So I want to share a lot more, like, about what I'm eating. I've already got my meal prep stuff ready. It's not what you think, though. It's not like healthy meal prep. It's like I need to make myself enjo queso every week so we can have it in the fridge. And I want to make homemade salsa. Those are my favorite snacks. That's what I grew up eating. So I want to have that on hand. We're going to have batch sweet tea ready to fucking go. That's my version of meal prepping, which I'm excited for. And I want to share all those little things about kind of homemaking there. I cannot wait, y'all. I cannot wait for our Costco run. We're doing a big Costco run on his first day off. And I cannot wait to be a Costco girly again because there's Costco here in LA, but it takes me forever to get to. And I also just, like, my place is too small with too little storage and I'm only one person. But now I'm going to be a Costco girly again. I'm so excited. Anyway, come find me on social media at Peyton Sarton. That's Instagram and TikTok. If you want to follow along my move and see my new place, and I'm so excited. And I will talk to you guys next week. Thank y'all so much for listening to today's episode. You can catch a new episode of Note to Self every Thursday. Please, please don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on any of the good stuff. I always want to hear from you, so please leave a rating and review if you have a sec. Follow Note to Self on social for all the behind-the-scenes action and more info about the show at NTS by PS on Instagram and at Note to Self Pod on TikTok. And I'll talk to y'all next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.